Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to ACC News, the unique internet broadcast series that brings you together with some of the most amazing and interesting individuals from the world of business, industry, health and wellness, art, entertainment, and many more. From company owners, CEOs, and presidents, to the most inspiring people who create the magic behind the scenes that make their company's products and services so special. Here is your opportunity to live their experience and journeys through the words of the ones that actually made it possible. Live worldwide. This is ACC Global News.
Good afternoon to everyone around the globe. I welcome you back to ACC Global News. And again, we are welcoming all listeners from North and also South America and also from overseas. I am your host, Matthew Connor. And again, I am very happy to be with all of you here today. And today, ACC News, we bring to you another wonderful guest with really a very unique practice. We have with us expressive arts-based life coach, Deb Ogburn, and she is the founder of A Time for Art. And to anyone in our audience tuning in today that is really basically looking for clarity in life or simply looking to improve their overall physical and emotional wellness, please listen in very closely, because Deb is really sharing with us a very effective program that has also changed her life personally. And to remind everyone today, it is now Thursday, the 9th of March, 12 o'clock noon Eastern time. Now, I would like to inform everyone tuning in today, especially the people that do live overseas in different time zones. If you do miss any portion of our segment today with Deb, it will be permanently archived on our ACC Global Media Blog Talk Radio site. So please visit us at blogtalkradio.com/ACC Global Media. Now, also, if you're a big part of social media, as you know many of us are now, we are also on Facebook. Please visit us at facebook.com/ACC Global Media, and you can actually listen to the show live from that social media segment. And we're also on Twitter. Please visit us at twitter.com/ACC Global Media, and you can really enjoy our shows at any time of the day. Now, our special guest today, expressive arts-based life coach Deb Ogburn. She once had a career as a graphic designer for many years, and she suffered what many of us have gone through, a mid-career burnout. And this happened in the early 90s, and it really left her emotionally challenged. And she tried other jobs in different fields, but her true happiness and meaning came when she discovered her artistic side. Now, in 2006, she completed her master's degree in expressive arts therapy. And this was one of the few things that led her to be one of the pioneers in this field of using arts to build community, restore health, and also the quality of life overall. She has changed many people's lives in so many different ways using this method, which, by the way, is already effectively being used in Europe. So, again, we are so very fortunate to have Deb be really one of the first people to introduce this program to the Western world. So, to our audience today, I am very, very proud to present to you expressive arts-based life coach, founder of A Time for Art, Ms. Deb Ogburn. How are you doing today, Deb?
I'm great, Matthew. Thank you for that great introduction.
Well, we're very happy to have you really speaking about a very unique program to many people in America. Before anything, Deb, can you please share with the audience who exactly is Deb Ogburn?
I am a mixed media artist. I am an artist helper, a change agent. I'm a dog mom. I'm a prolific dreamer. I guess I'm a Louisville native, Louisville, Kentucky native, and transplant from the West Coast. And I'm a nature lover, recycler, empathic, intuitive.
Well, to everybody tuning in, especially our regular listeners, they're aware that anybody that does come onto our show also really has a very unique and inspiring story. So, Deb, can you please share with the audience your personal journey that led you to where you are now?
Sure. You gave a nice introduction there. My first career was, you know, as a graphic designer in Chicago, and in my late 30s or 40s, as you said, I really went through this period of burnout. I was feeling like I'd gotten off track. I kind of woke up one day and thought, you know, what am I doing? I felt like I was trailing on the coattails of the Good Old Boys Network and, you know, in this kind of fast-paced, what I thought would be a really glamorous kind of career. And I just woke up kind of, you know, it seemed like it was overnight and felt like, this is not me. I felt really inauthentic. So my short-term solution was to go out on my own and start my own business, which was probably, you know, the worst thing I could have done at that time. But that led me kind of head on into the recession in a couple of years, and I had a failed engagement. I have fiance who lost his business in the recession, and then that all was a big mess. And I've just found myself in a place where I was kind of emotionally and physically exhausted, and I knew I needed a much bigger change of venue. So I, you know, was in Chicago. It was winter in Chicago in February, and I decided to follow the sun to San Diego, California, where I had managed to procure a job in the hospitality industry, working for Ingrid Croce, who was the widow of singer-songwriter Jim Croce. And although it was a, you know, kind of a real big change of pace for me, kind of supporting her in her business venture, I you know, got to be around a lot of artists and musicians, culinary artists, and so forth. And I started to realize that, you know, I needed a place for my own self-expression. I just had this longing to get back to my artist roots, and I had, you know, really lost that somehow. You would think graphic design would kind of keep you nested in that, but I found that kind of being out in the commercial world didn't quite satisfy the need that I had for self-expression. So I, you know, I guess in my time off, I started, you know, I was pretty broke, pretty broken. I kind of spent a lot of time on the beach weaving baskets from the indigenous Torrey Pine needles, and I would walk miles around Balboa Park, and I was just fascinated with all the, you know, new horticulture and all in the surroundings there. And I, you know, kind of went out with my camera, and I kept making photographs of everything and really got into photography. One night I was looking at a pile of negatives. We were still using film back then. And I came across a strip of negatives that just had these really unusual colors and shapes and forms. And I looked at them closely, and I realized they were images of friends and family, you know, from back in Chicago and in Kentucky. And they just had this really amazing luminous quality, and they look almost like paintings to me. So I got in this crazy quest that I, you know, wanted these negatives to be produced as positive images. And I ended up going to a Kinko's in the middle of the night where I could get the guy that ran the film copier to do what I wanted, which was I put all of the negatives in positive frame slides or had him make positive prints of them. So anyway, I just, you know, I was fascinated with these prints and really, really became lit up by them. And I had all kinds of, you know, I just put a portfolio together and started thinking, well, you know, is this art? What is this feeling? Why am I so excited about this? And so that led me to Julia Cameron's book, The Artist's Way, and I'm sure a lot of our listeners will know of that book. It's been around for years and years. But I signed up for an Artist's Way support group, and it's kind of a 12-step process for recovering artists. And by artists, it really applies to all genres of creators. And that took me on something called an artist date called Moondance. And Moondance led me to the founder of the Expressive Arts Institute, San Diego. And voila, I did a weekend intensive with her and decided that I needed more of this. This was what I'd been looking for. So that's how I got into the master's program for expressive arts.
And
that ended up taking me to Switzerland for my thesis work, which was fabulous.
Really?
Nothing like getting a graduate degree where there's mandatory hiking in the Alps. So with an international community of artist helpers, artist healers, and the authors of the field. So it was just a real life-changing experience and really got to see how powerful the arts are as a tool for healing and guiding us. It's really, really not about the end product. It's more about the adventure and the journey.
And many people in our audience are probably not aware of really of the power of art. Can you really share with our audience about and also the creation of your practice, A Time for Art?
Yes. A Time for Art came about after I came back to Louisville, which was just about 4 years ago. A Time for Art's really about the healing and the insight, the kind of learning that comes through the experience of making art. It's about engaging the imagination as a resource. So whether you're healing something from the past or, igniting hope for the future or really looking to illuminate your path going forward, making art can help you. If you work with someone who can show you how to use it, how to harvest the resources.
So many people hear your story and they hear about, I wouldn't call it your failures, but your roadblocks in life. Many people, they aren't able to recover from some of those roadblocks. What I would like to know, Deb, and if you could please share this with the audience, who or what is your biggest influence in your life and in your career?
There are really so many, it's hard to pick one. Definitely my teachers have been great influences. I'd say aside from Julia Cameron, and I do really respect her work, my teachers, even back in high school, my art teachers were great influencers. As far as how they helped me open to art as an expressive tool, but also, became concrete for me when I went to graduate school. My teachers, Judith Greer Essex of the Expressive Arts Institute, and then some of the founders of the field, Paolo Cannell, Sean McNiff, Stephen Ellen Levine, and other authors and people that I worked with and studied under and read their books and teachings about the place of art in our society, in our culture, and how we've lost a lot of that because art's been kind of put into galleries, and people think they have to be quote unquote an artist in order to make art, which is absolutely untrue. It's something that man has been doing since before he could communicate, and it's something that's really, I feel, very, very essential to our wellness, well-being, and our survival.
And what I do like is also for the audience to understand you don't need to be a master artist to really participate
no.
in this great program.
No.
So,
if you can draw a stick person, you can do this.
So, Deb, who are the typical clients that you usually work with?
It runs the gamut. I have a lot of other helping professionals that are kind of in need of stress management and self-care. I have clients who are teens that are looking for a direction in life. I've worked with entrepreneurs kind of looking for work-life balance. Adults who are going through some sort of transition, whether it's divorce, corporate downsizing, empty nesters, retirement, looking for, you know, to repurpose their lives in some way to make, get through that shift and to move forward. I have some young adults who are working their way up the corporate ladder, and cultural creatives, I guess, change makers are kind of, I think, kind of overall people that are more looking to do things a little bit different way, who maybe have, like I did, tried some things traditionally and said, no, that's not for me. I know there's a better way, and I really want to do it my way. So I think overall the people that I work with kind of have that characteristic in common. I also do some programming and facilitation for education and community service organizations. I work with the Kentucky Center Arts and Healing Program and Kentucky Refugee Ministries.
And I know many people are wondering this. What are the exact services that you do provide to people once you do start working with them?
I do expressive life coaching with individuals. And I also facilitate expressive art support groups out of my practice, A Time for Art. I also offer creativity consulting for business and do some interactive speaking engagements.
And how exactly would you hold your sessions with your clients?
Typical session is about 90 minutes. First, we discuss the issue at hand and what would be a positive outcome for that session. The second part is where we go into the studio and create some art. And that art sometimes is not at all focused on the issue. In fact, sometimes that's the best way to proceed. Then we kind of come back after we do the art making, spend a good amount of time involved in the art making, which can be something the client's doing. It can involve visual arts, music, sound, dance, movement. It might involve some journaling, poetry, music, I guess, drumming, whatever they might gravitate toward, and I might guide them toward. And then we kind of sit down and look at what happened, what was created, in what I call kind of the part where we harvest resources. And we talk a lot about the process and the person's experience making the art, and we also look at the image or images that are created and have a good discussion about them. And once we have done that, then we kind of wrap it up by going back to the issue at hand and the day-to-day life and look at what happened in that process. What did we get in our harvesting of that experience that might be useful and might be able to be applied to whatever issue the person came in to address or what we're trying to accomplish that day. So it, pretty much is going through that cycle with people, and it's amazing what insights and learnings get sparked. I'm always
amazing.
Fascinated.
Now you said the actual.
What pops?
So the actual images that people create, I guess you feel that somehow tells a story about the person themselves.
I can't say that it's that specific. It might not be about them. It might be, but it's something they created and they did. And for example,
yeah.
I had a client that did a large drawing. She was actually an entrepreneur and had some challenges balancing life with family and being a single mom and an entrepreneur. And she was really very burned out, and I had her just fill a page with color, but it was a very big page. She was feeling like she wasn't getting out, getting enough exercise, wasn't being physical enough. And so she was, filled this big 4-foot by 6-foot page with color.
Yeah.
And, didn't really have time to think. She just had to do. And then she looked at it, stood up and looked at it, walked around it, and all of a sudden she saw the image of a swan. And sure enough, she pointed it out, and I saw that too. Well, that image was very personal to her. She didn't sit down to create a swan, but all of a sudden that swan came up, and she said, the reason I started my business was because I always felt like the ugly duckling, and I knew I was a swan. And that was just a big aha moment for her. It reconnected her to her purpose, to her mission, and all that she was about. So it's stuff like that that happens, and when it happens, it's a real shift. It's down in the base of the spine and the belly.
Yeah.
It just really, you know, that was enough to light her flame again and get her back in. And what she eventually found she needed to do through a few more sessions was to delegate more of her work so that she could also spend time with her family. So, but that just, you know, got her back on track, and we worked out the rest of the details.
And I know that was definitely an amazing experience for her. What I would like for you to share with the audience, many of them are thinking this as well, what are some of the outcomes people can expect when working with you?
You know, in terms of outcomes, I notice that people, you know, get a lot of clarity. You mentioned that in the beginning, clarity of their vision and their life purpose. Getting aligned with lifestyle, career, and values, getting in alignment with your values and getting your life kind of aligned with that. The balance issues are always big, and I think people are, you know, find those keys. I sometimes say, you know, you can read these things in a book, but when it comes to you through your own artwork, through something you created, you get it, and you're a lot more willing to do it when you're the author of the solution. You know how people are. When somebody tells you, you just need to do this, it's a lot harder to accept that sometimes. So, you know, the balance, trust in your intuition. You know, people, when they come to me often, especially people that don't make art, sometimes the artists are even more challenged by working intuitively, and we do a lot of working intuitively. I'll get people to experiment and do things that they don't necessarily have a lot of control over. So they learn to trust their intuition. I think they're more builds resilience in people because they kind of get challenged in the art and they figure out how to make something of it and still be successful. So it kind of contributes to resilience.
Yes.
A lot of perfectionism and procrastination, those are the two P's, are a big thing that we work with a lot through the art because, you know, we're not about creating a perfect masterpiece or a perfect rendering of something. And, you know, when the paint spills in the wrong place, hey, I call it a happy accident, and let's see what we can make of that. So, you know, we really work with that to see what can you do with, you know, what you have. You've got to be able to kind of improvise a little bit and perhaps go in a different direction, which is I often equate that to how we, you know, how we deal with other people in our lives that kind of seem to maybe be challenging. So I think in a lot of creative confidence, and that's something that's, I think, very underrated in our culture. You know, that feeling like you are a creative person, it gives you the ability to do a lot of things in life, and it gives you a kind of confidence that will help you move through most any situation. So I think that's, you know, really a big outcome. And I think, you know, I've noticed my clients seem more willing and able and confident in making changes, not only in their own lives, but in the cultures they're in. Working with a young woman who has suffered some injustice, some gender injustice in the workplace. And she's doing a great job of now standing on her feet and being a whistleblower and taking charge of that situation rather than just leaving and going on to another job. So, you know, I think that, you know, there are lots of things that can happen in the course of our sessions, but people come alive. They just, I see the, you know, kind of the color come back into their faces and they get excited. And, you know, it's kind of like when I looked at my little negative images and saw this really cool sort of ethereal things, and all of a sudden I thought, oh, that negative is really pretty positive, and it's turned around and you get excited. Something about your own imagery that will light you up and you get connected to it. So it's a cool thing to watch, to witness.
So I guess you see many types of different positive changes with your clients once you do start working with them.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, if it's not happening, and I'm the first to say that, you know, this method is probably not for everybody on the planet. But for those who do find me, I think, you know, it's a good connection. It's we fit. It's we're going to get some positive results, and we're going to have some fun along the way.
So, how caught up in the product should your clients get?
You know, the end product, the artwork, the dance, the piece of music, the, you know, whatever, it's not important. That's why, you know, we really absolutely do not need to be skilled in any art form in order to do this. It's really much more about the experience. And, you know, as I said, the harvesting comes not just, you know, out of looking at the art. We're not intending to hang this, you know, in the hallway or over the sofa. But, you know, if you want to, and some people do, that's fine. But it's not, that's not the intention. We're really looking at the experience and, you know, what happened during that art-making session. Now, the image is also important, but only to the extent that the client feels that it expresses what they're trying to express. And that's where, because I am a trained artist, I bring my expertise to help them. I support them in getting there. So it's, someone's like, you know, that's not exactly what I was going for. How can I make that darker in this area? Or how can I make this part of the music flow? Or how can I, make this piece of my dance more exciting? I can help them and support them with that.
So, Deb, in your opinion, what are the biggest issues you see people are facing today?
Number one, and this is no surprise to anyone, I think, is uncertainty about the future. You know, I think a lot of people are not, you know, feeling a little off balance in our culture right now. I think the other thing, big thing, is finding meaning amidst what, you know, a lot of us are perceiving kind of the world to be a little chaotic right now. And that piece of meaning is also very very essential to staying well and creating a happy life. People want to feel like they're here for a reason. They know what that is, like their life is meaningful, what they're doing is meaningful. And so that's something that I do see people just kind of feeling like, you know, what's the point? And so giving them a connection to that. Workplace equality comes up with a lot of the women that I work with. Job insecurity is a biggie because, you know, so many people are, you know, things are shifting and so many people who have had careers get bumped out. And then what do? You know, if they can't afford to retire. So, making changes in midlife. And, then there's the classics, which are relationships and health. So, you know, it really, all the maladies that I don't know that it's all anything that new, but it's part of the human journey, I guess.
And I know many of those issues are things many people in the audience can definitely relate to. And you gave so much great information about this program, or we actually have a little under a minute left. Deb, can you share with people where they can go to find out more about your incredible work, or where they can go to sign up for your program?
Well, absolutely. Atimeforart.com, all spelled out, is my website. And there you can sign up for a free 30-minute consultation. Come by and meet me, or we can do a phone chat. I am planning to do some remote coaching, working with people that are not in Louisville. So don't let that keep you away. I'd love to hear from you if you're interested in working with me or doing any of my programs. And I am also working on some online courses that people will be able to try out and learn a little bit about how art can support you. So timeforart.com, and I'm there. You can find out more about me and stay in touch.
And to the audience out there, again, she can work with anyone from around the world. Please visit her at atimeforart.com. Again, that is atime, A-T-I-M-E, for art, F-O-R-A-R-T.com. And we're just about out of time today. But, again, I thank you very much, Deb, for coming on air and really sharing this very unique program. hopefully we can have you come back on again and really give us some more information. And to our audience out there, I thank you very much for joining us today. Please go to accglobalmedia.com for all future show dates and times. And again, to our audience and to you, Deb, I wish you have a wonderful day. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you, Matthew.
And to our audience out there, you have a wonderful day. I look forward to having you back with us in our next segment. Bye.